Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you with this month's bonus episode with three previous guests slash fan favorites, Emma Arnold, Rena Kalm, and Bree Pruitt. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. Oh, we forgot to tell you, you could turn your camera off. That we do it like audio only style, but it is nice to see you. And I'll introduce you in a second, because it's time to meet everybody individually and alphabetically by first name. What? So, hello, Bree Pruitt. How are you doing?
I'm excellent, Doug Benson. Good to see you. Talk to you again.
Must be exciting for someone with the last name that begins with P to finally get mentioned first because of your first name beginning with B.
It's been a struggle. And also the last name beginning with P, you know, when they break the alphabet into two lines, like at the DMV?
Oh, yeah.
It's really tough to remember what side of the alphabet I'm on. I can't remember right now. Gun to my head, I couldn't tell you.
I think you're on the back half, if I had to guess.
Well, we'll never know. And that's okay.
I think middle's like around L. So you're kind of like in the Midwest of the alphabet.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm like Kansas.
Yeah, but I think we met when you did the show at Helium in Portland.
Yeah, we've met in Helium in Portland. I got to do some of the Brea shows and San Diego, which was really cool. And then I got to do a few of these too. Love to talk about movies with you always, bro.
All right. Well, thank you for being here and for that recap of our of all of our Doug Loves Movies time together. Another frequent guest of the show, and also a record breaker in a couple of ways, Emma Arnold is here. Hey, Emma.
In like number of losses? What is my record?
No, you're one of three guests in the history of the show who appeared with their own children.
True.
And those others, the other two times it happened, it was just one. And you're the only person in the history show to bring three kids on the show at once.
That is true. And also, I think you should know that they're like not kids anymore. Isn't that wild?
I know, right? You just had an 18-year-old happen.
Yeah. Yeah. He just turned 18, my middle. So I have a 20-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 15-year-old, which is so wild.
Are they still all, they were all fairly passionate about motion pictures. So do they all still love movies?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They just actually went and saw the new D&D movie last night. And I was not able to go with them, but they came home. They greatly enjoyed it. But yeah, they watch movies all the time.
I only hear good things about that movie. So that's another good sign because
yeah, they loved it. They thought it was very fun and very sweet. And they're D&D guys too. So they liked it all around.
Yeah, they're the ones you really have to please with a D&D movie. Also joining us, it's Rena Kalm.
Hi, good to be here. That.
I like to say your name in an excited manner.
Yeah, Kalm.
It's fun to scream Kalm. Everybody calm down.
Stay calm. <Rena's> here.
we met in Chicago, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah.
Or was it Schmo Rosemont?
It was Rosemont. Yeah, it was definitely Rosemont. And we've been in Chicago together as well, but all of our meetups have been in that region.
I'm sorry you won't be in the Chicagoland area next week when I'm there doing my annual zany shows that I do around Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of my favorite parking structures to smoke weed in in the country. That's always a good time. Pretty cool, chill vibes there.
Yeah, no, there's nothing more soothing than when a place is called a bank park.
Yeah, there's like a honky tonk and an ice skating rink. It's just a lot happening.
Yeah, no ice skating. This, I think by May, they take down the ice rink and just put out that AstroTurf. But
sure.
Regardless, I'll be there on May 5th and May 6th. One May 5th, I'm doing a happy hour stand-up show at Zany's in Rosemont. And then May 6th, I'm doing an afternoon 420 Douglas Movies taping. And I've just been going there every year that particular weekend, and for no particular reason.
I don't know. They know 420 is like nearby, and it's like whatever Mexican 420. I don't know, but it's something Cinco de Mayo. I don't know. It's like close enough.
Well, there's that big Mexican restaurant there, that chain restaurant, Adobe Gila's.
Yes,
and you know, which is a reference to a 50s TV show. So I don't think anybody going there even understands where the name came from. But it's just this big Mexican restaurant. And so it's just fun to just, go over there after my show, like basically have a, after party ready to go. After I'm doing, my thing in the parking structure, like you mentioned.
I'm not like in Chicago at all really anymore, except when I'm passing through like anywhere, but I haven't yet actually landed anywhere else. So that's still part of my like comedy identity, I would say. You know, you have to have your place next to your name. And so I'm still Chicago, but it's a lie at this point.
Right. Now I should ask you, like, instead of saying, are you going to be in Chicago? I should just go ahead and ask you any random city. Are you going to be there?
Yeah.
Because you may be there close by.
I'm going to be in Boise with Emma in just 2 weeks. So
just 2 weeks.
Anything could happen.
Doing a couple shows.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Just go ahead and spill that plug right now. What's the deets on that?
Friday the 12th, she's doing my show at Push and Pour. And then Saturday, she's doing a secret show. I can't say which one.
I will. Don't tell you. I can't disclose anything more than that. Don't tell where it is.
Don't tell anything.
This is part of that the festival.
No, no. These are just a couple of shows.
Okay.
This is just a hobo passing through.
Yeah.
All right. But are you still involved with that festival there?
I'm not. 208. Okay. We haven't done since the beginning of COVID. We kind of just let it die. And I haven't been a part of comedy for it in a few years either.
All right. Well, that's fair.
I was running them both with my ex-boyfriend, and I think we were both like at the beginning of COVID, like we don't have to do this forever, right? Like we could just we could retire this. So yeah, that's what we did.
I think we're also still all in the era of figuring out like where we're landing post all of the COVID like rearrangements of our psyches and our venues, you know, what's happening now.
Yeah.
It's different. Every episode of the show lately, I like to ask all my guests to recommend a movie, but I give them sort of a category or a niche or something, you know, in which, you know, as a framework. And I was thinking that this week it would be fun to ask about, since the they're going to announce the Tony Award nominees next Tuesday. So I was thinking about musicals and musical theater. So could each of you recommend it? You know, it could be an obscure one, could be just a real damn obvious one, but just tell me a musical that you enjoy and would recommend. Let's start with Bree.
Okay. I love the music. I love musicals. The one that I think may be kind of off the beaten path that maybe people would enjoy now, Tommy. The Who from the 70s. You got so many Jack Nicholson, freaking you know, Tina Turner, you know, and what's her name, Doug?
Anne Margaret
being such a babe. So that's a fun one. And it's a rock opera, so there's no dialogue. That's a good one to put in the background of a party and just let it roll. Let the vibes overtake you. What a great day for you to watch the Tommy musical.
Yeah, it's a lot of great music. They made it into a stage musical it was a movie first, and they made it into a stage musical eventually. And then now that is going to be revived. They're going to do a new version of that on Broadway, which I enjoyed, but it's the plot after a certain point doesn't really matter. It's more just the music and the drama. The movie's really wild, though. I mean, it's really got some disturbing and triggering stuff in there, I think.
That's right. I forgot about that. I don't know how it's going to play in 2023.
I remember not getting that movie. I saw it when I was so young, and I just didn't even do any drugs at the time. I mean, I wanted to get it. You know, I wanted to be cool to stuff like that. I liked all the trippy music that came out, but I never tripped. So I didn't really know who I was, I guess. But I was like, yeah, I get it. The Who, for sure. I think it would be different now.
I think the Pinball Wizard sequence and song have really stood the test of time. You know, that's super fun. But, you know, the premise of this deaf, dumb, and blind kid, you know, and then he gets shuttled around between relatives. And, you know, like one of his uncles is pretty terrible, you know, and sings this goofy song, Fiddle About. Tommy.
I forgot about that. Oh my god.
So yeah, it's super rough to watch now. always uncomfortable, but now it's yikes.
Yeah, there's so many of those like Kubrick movies and things like that are like, wow, there's a lot more rapes in this than I thought. So yeah.
Totally.
Big trigger warning for sure, and like take care of yourself. But you know, fun psychedelic English. Post-war.
It's fast-paced and it treats it in a lighthearted way, I guess. So but also like you said, like Tina Turner doing the Acid Queen is fantastic.
Iconic.
It really should. Somebody really should. I mean, I'm not at all for censorship of movies, and old movies are going to have garbage stuff in them. But it would be neat to have like a feature on a streaming where old movies where it just says, hey, you might want to skip this part.
Maybe the reboot will be.
Skip if you're offended by stuff.
It's like mystery.
Leave it at the reboot.
Mystery Science Theater, but only for like trigger warnings and you know, like
skip the next 45 seconds. Yeah.
A little robot could just pop up and say, "Hey, do you not appreciate watching people vomit? Then this is a good scene to skip."
I would love.
I would love that. Are we both in the emetophobe realm there? Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you can't unsee some stuff, you know, and like that can make you actually sick.
And I don't know if you guys have noticed this. I feel like on screen vom has had a renaissance lately, and I've had enough.
It's in every movie and TV show. I complain about it on this show all the time. There's people because it's a traumatic, it's dramatic thing that's happening, and it can either be comedic or disgusting, but and sometimes both. But it's like it's just I don't know why they go to it so often. I'm grateful when somebody just runs off camera when they're going to show somebody exploding vomit out of their mouth.
Yeah.
It can. I mean, it's not that funny anymore anyway, because it's just overdone.
But, the implication of vomit, fine. But like nobody man,
the Knives Out storyline where that was her whole character.
Yeah, that was her whole personality.
I feel like The Exorcist is like the only one where you're like, okay, that was a creative choice. You know, like.
Yeah.
And I feel like Triangle of Sadness, like that was one of the only movies where I was like, the vomit is really a big piece of this. I need the vomit to really watch these people be truly miserable. But in general, I'm like, no, implied violence vomit is enough for me. It's enough.
But those people were miserable, but then you still had to see the people that had to clean up what they were doing. You know what I mean? Like that they had to go through their own misery probably every time that stupid ship set sail. That movie, obviously it's not for emetophobes at all, but I guess you could say skip this 17 minute sequence.
I think like it's not just vomit either for me. I kind of feel I'm trying to think there's really not a single body fluid that I'm like, yeah, show me what that's like, you know what I mean? Like it's just I don't need I mean tears maybe. Mm-hmm. But
so you haven't seen Babylon?
I haven't, no.
Okay, because that is a fluid festival.
Yeah, I'll probably not catch that one.
Elephant poop is the first of it. It doesn't end there.
Fluid festival. Put that on the poster. Benson.
Fluid festival.
Hey, so Emma, what do you think? You got a musical that you love?
Well, mine's not in any way like a deep cut. My favorite musical is the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Ooh, nice.
And I love it so much. And actually, I just recently watched it with one of my kids. And I hadn't seen it like in a few years. And I was kind of like, oh, I wonder if he'll, you know, a lot of times with my son of this generation, they'll be like on their phones when they're watching a movie. And I'll be like, get off your phone, you know. And so I was kind of interested. But if it's a good movie, they won't do that. But if it's like kind of a so-so movie, they'll like get on their phone. So I was sort of interested to see if he like really didn't understand it or relate to it, but actually it's so good and it's so fun, and he watched the whole thing and just like loved it and thought it was very funny. And we were just talking about how like Tim Curry just like
so good,
an irreplaceable person, you know, like just so many movies I can think of where anybody else in that role, like Muppet Christmas, you know, like nothing, there's no one else you can put in that role. It's got to be him. And he's so, or not Muppet Christmas. Sorry, that's Michael Caine. I'm thinking of Muppet Treasure Island, obviously.
Like Clue.
Clue. Yeah. He's just,
I mean, he's
so
always amazing, but Dr. Frankenfurter.
Yeah. Frankenfurter. That elevator scene. I remember I saw that movie when I was like 13, you know, and I was like so sheltered and I was at a friend's house and they were like, have you ever seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show? And I just I think I will always remember the feeling I had when like that elevator scene when he's like shuts it and he goes back up and he's just like,
yeah, the music and everything comes together,
just the whole thing. And so yeah, that's my favorite one of all time. And also I really often, even though I hadn't seen the movie in a few years, I throw the soundtrack on fairly often, like just if I'm kind of in a down mood, I'll listen to the soundtrack. Always a pick me up, just great music. Everybody's really fun in it. Susan Sarandon's such a babe. Meatloaf's strange, you know, suddenly there's Meatloaf, which is always, it catches just me by surprise every time.
Yeah, and the sexual liaisons sequence is filmed in such a fun way.
Yeah, Yeah, super fun.
So hilarious. Like, you could tell they got that, like, from the stage version, because that'd be a fun way to do it on stage, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be behind, you know, just shadow the puppets. Silhouettes. Yeah, yeah.
I remember feeling like that movie was so horny, but I don't know if it is by 2023 standards. Was your son scandalized?
No, I mean, but my kids are not super scandalized. Like, I know a lot of Gen Z kids have, like, the rep for being sort of prude about that stuff, but my kids definitely aren't. But it is still definitely a very horny movie. Like, you're definitely like, yeah, this is tits out, you know? Like, it's
for sure. Susan Sarandon singing Touch a Touch Me is still one of the sexiest things that's ever happened in human existence. Like, that's the horniest, but, like, sexy horny song of all time. Like, yeah, it's attractive. It's not, like, sleazy, you know?
And just, like, a man who can't speak and it's just kind of there for...
Yeah, a tool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they're like aliens here to take over the world, you know, take over the earth, but get distracted by being so horny.
yeah
The
whole premise.
Honestly, I think, like, sex was such a, like, mystifying and like interesting but confusing topic when I first saw that movie, that, like, I think, like, I just didn't even understand what the plot even was tied to in any way. I just knew their car broke down and then, like, there's sex.
Honestly, and Rena, that's
stilettos.
That's so true, because I remember, like, as a kid, like, our teenager watching it and just being like, I have no idea what's happening here. Now they're in a pool, you know? Like,
yeah, I didn't get it. Also, I will say I have a great appreciation for it now, but, like, when I was first watching that movie, like, over and over again, because I worked at Hollywood Video, and that was one of the movies we could play after 10 or something like that, because it was, I think it's like PG-13 or something. It's, like, technically not R-rated, but it's not a daytime family-friendly. Anyway. We played that all the time. And I never really was into the meatloaf scene because it just seemed so extraneous. And, like, I didn't get how, because I wasn't following the plot at all. I'm just like, who's this guy? Sure. I'm not horny for that. Like,
but now. Yeah,
he's got that pretty awful stitch on his head. And then, and then what happens to him is really gross.
Yeah,
I don't think also I've ever been horny for somebody named Meatloaf. I'm just like, oh yeah. Oh,
I gotta say, I think it in the new era of, like, female gaze, I think everybody's horny for Meatloaf in that scene. Actually, like, the motorcycle, the, like, he loves his girl, you know.
Oh yeah, like, yeah. I get it now. You know, I think maybe also my hormones.
Now that I'm a middle-aged lady, I'm a meatloaf guy. You know, but like, as a teenager, I was like, who is this terrifying old man?
Also, out of respect for his passing, I'll say, like, yeah, I love that scene now. But yeah, no, I mean, that's sad. But yeah, I mean,
he's got a catchy song. His song is fun. Like,
oh yeah, Papa Judy.
The movie, you know, until they're lounging around the pool, the movie really moves along. Like, and all of the songs are so good.
What's the high-pitched one with the top hat? What's her name? I can't remember. But
Magenta. Columbia.
Magenta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
played Magenta in a production on stage when I was 20 years old. And I'll tell you what, the cast embodied the sexual energy of the movie also. Everybody was reenacting that pool scene every closing night of the cast party.
Oh, hello. The dream, Brie. I'm so jealous. I always wanted to be in a production of Rocky Horror Picture Show. But that's amazing. What a star.
Just a pile of stinky fishnets and grease paint smeared corsets. It's a nasty business, but somebody had to do it in college.
I think it's funny though that, like, the idea of, like, now with movies, like, everybody in, like, you watch movies with a phone in your hand, but, like, I never went to see Rocky Horror Picture Show live.
Oh yeah,
I think that
and now it's
Boston.
Illegal.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, some states. Yeah. Okay. For sure. No, I did know that, unfortunately. But like, they had, like, the whole, like, it was an event to go see Rocky Horror live. Like, you would throw toast or, like, the idea of having a phone in your hand. Like, no, we're throwing toast at the stage. Like, people bringing bags of bread to see the ducks.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, I've been to lots, I've seen it a bunch of times with an audience, and, you know, that very first time is so unforgettable because it was, you know, it wasn't that thing that had been happening for years and years the first time I went, you know, and
yeah,
it's still been going for long enough that everyone there knew what to say and I didn't. And so it's so weird that they have shit to shout out every moment. Like it's, there's no quiet time.
Yeah.
During some of the screenings. Anyway, Rena, you've had lots of time to think. What's your favorite musical or musical you'd like to remind people of?
I think like in recent years, the one that I've both enjoyed watching more than once and also really enjoyed the music from outside of viewing is The Greatest Show. I know that it's not as much of a, it's more of a modern classic, I guess. I don't know. Hugh Jackman's one of the most talented humans to ever walk the face of the earth, probably. And I just didn't even know he could sing until I saw that. The choreography, like, I don't know, Zac Efron's had some problems, but they do some pretty banging choreography in that one. And there's,
yeah, there's the flying around on the ropes with Zendaya and the scene that I love that it's a Disney movie and there's a whole sequence glorifying doing shots because they keep hanging the glasses on the counter and keep doing shots. And it's the bearded lady knocks it out of the park every time she sings. Like it's a very entertaining movie. Like if you go back and read about the actual guy he's playing, it's weird that Hugh Jackman was so obsessed with making that dude into a hero because apparently he was horrible.
Oh really?
But, yeah. Those people were slaves basically that worked in his circus. They weren't there because he was giving outsiders a break.
Sure.
He was taking advantage of their freakishness, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you kind of get that vibe in the middle of the movie anyway.
You do,
like...
yeah. No, they do show kind of the downside to him, like him falling in love with the lady singer that he was super into promoting.
Yeah,
there's definitely a downside to it, but they really make him out to be quite the hero throughout.
They do,
and it was pretty nasty. But
you don't have
to go back and read about it. You don't have to listen to me. You can just enjoy the movie because it doesn't matter. Nothing's gonna change. About that, his story, it's over.
His talent in portraying, like, yeah, not knowing enough about the actual man it's based on, like, was not part of my love for that movie at all. Like, it's obviously, like, the actual, well, I don't want to say the circus slaves that he kept. Those are the people that, you know, like, the bearded lady, like you said, every time she busts out in that song, it's like, I feel it in my whole body.
Such a great cast.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. I do endorse it and enjoy it, but have to be a jerk about it.
Let's be a circus truther here, and yeah, let's be honest.
It's another one of those pop up movies where we need just a little bit of
a little context
review.
Don't
get me started about how the people Mamma Mia is based on, how evil they are. They are so rich they own an island in Greece and live there.
Rude.
Whoa.
Those jerks.
Eat the rich.
I don't think they're based on anybody though. I think everybody's made up in Mamma Mia.
Eat the Mamma Mia. Have you guys seen Hugh Jackman open the 2009 Academy Awards? It was floating around. He does this big musical number and I guess Dan Harmon and Ben Schwartz wrote it.
Oh wow.
And it's wacky. And the whole deal was the Academy Awards didn't have a lot of money. So the joke is that it's a very low budget, like under rehearsed thing, but it was a very low budget and under rehearsed thing. And it's only through the talent and sweat and blood of Hugh Jackman does it work.
Because it's about his enthusiasm for this lame thing and how he runs around and does all these things.
Yeah,
he did. He also co-hosted with Anne Hathaway 1 year. Yes. A lot of people thought that was, you know, too musical theater-y for the Oscars, but I love that one too. I mean, and whenever he shows up at the Tonys, it's great. Like, he's extremely entertaining. I was so happy I got to see him in The Music Man, and
nice.
I also saw that Tony Award-winning role he had in The Boy from Oz, and he's just very entertaining. And I could talk, you know, Doug loves Broadway, so I could go on and on about this. But we should probably move on. We should, you know, just to hold my core audience, we probably need to talk about some superhero movies. So let's take a break, and we'll be right back after these words.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back. Did you enjoy those words?
Yeah.
The first game, you didn't hear the commercial. The first game we're going to play today is something that I call Super Super Bros. Have any of you all seen either the original Super Mario Brothers movie with John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins, or this new Super Mario Brothers movie? They just added the word movie to the title of this one.
I have seen the old one. Definitely yeah, seen the old too. One.
Yeah,
I have okay. not. I've seen clips. I've seen videos like from the original old one. And I love Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo, but nope, completely unqualified.
Nobody's seen the new one?
No.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. I haven't either. But that didn't stop me from doing a little reading about it and figuring out how to set up this game. I will say a fact, fun or otherwise, relating to either Super Mario Brothers from 1993 or Super Mario Brothers movie from now or neither. I'll go to Bree first. I'll tell you the fun fact. You guess which one of those it is. If you're wrong, Emma gets a shot. If she's wrong, then Rena gets the gimme point for that particular fact. And whenever somebody gets one right, the next person in line alphabetically gets to go first on the next one. Bree, does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Spike is played by Richard Edson, who was one of the guys that went for a joyride in Ferris Bueller's buddy's car, Cameron's car, in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Is Spike played by Richard Edson? Does that occur in Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers movie, or neither?
Super Mario Brothers.
The first
1993.
One?
Yes.
You did see that movie. That is correct.
Oh, nice covering.
Yeah. All right, Emma. This one goes to you.
Okay.
There's a character in the film named Stink Butt. Is that
that's
Super
the whole
Mario
thing?
Okay. Brothers, Super Mario Brothers movie or neither?
That feels...
Oh, wait like... a second. I forgot to give Bria a correct sound effect when she got it. Okay.
Oh, man, that was good.
Boy, I hope I get
that. Glad we didn't miss that.
I'm going to go with the new one. I'm going to go with new one for Stink Butt.
Okay, there's a different sound effect when this happens.
Oh, no.
They should have put a character named Stinkbutt in there, in my opinion. Rena, was that guy in the first movie or neither?
I want to say neither.
You guys, do you want to say it, or you are saying it?
I said I'm officially stating
it's neither. Officially that's neither, your neither. Answer. Yeah. Neither, neither. Let's call the whole thing off. That is correct.
Nice.
You're on
I just
the board.
I don't think we were there really having that much fun with stink butt for I don't know, maybe. Seems extreme. Seems
I
really
thought it sounded
extreme.
Like something Chris Pratt like wedged in because he thought it was funny in the
it's
news.
A Japanese game, you know. They're a respectful people.
No, yeah, the Japanese never reference butts or
farts. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's stink butt, but he's blurred for the whole film.
Yeah, I don't know. I just I figured that might be tricky, especially because of the newer movie. You know, who knows if they added anything or not. Or either movie for that matter. I'm not enough of a Super Mario Brothers aficionado to know what's right or wrong in the movie adaptations.
Well, I haven't seen them, but I have eaten mushrooms and I feel like that's close enough. You know,
I've grown real big. So I also have experience in that realm.
Well, aren't some of the characters supposed to be mushrooms?
Sure.
Yeah.
So you eat the little characters?
Yeah.
You get high on them?
Yeah. The adapted generation of characters that they've got. No. Yes.
Are you high on mushrooms right now?
I wish.
Okay, Brie, yeah. It's back to you. And this one could do it for you. Okay. If you get this one right, you win this game. Because you already have 1 point. If you don't, Emma's still got a chance to be in this thing. The film has three credited directors. Is that Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers Now movie, or neither?
Neither.
Bree Pruitt says neither. Tell me your math. How many directors do you think the two movies have?
I think the first movie has one director and the second movie has one director.
Wow, listen to you. You're with your auteur theory. You're correct. Your math is off. Your math is off, but it is neither. It was a tricky question because Super Mario Brothers was directed by a couple, a man and a woman, two people. And Super Mario Brothers movie has four credited directors.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah.
So neither one of them has three directors. So congratulations, Brie. You got that right. Since we'll never play this game again, I'll blow out what I was going to say for the tiebreaker, and that's is narrated by the voice of Homer Simpson, Dan Castellaneta. Is that Super Mario Brothers OG or Super Mario Brothers Now or neither?
OG.
Maybe OG.
Maybe OG.
I think we all agree. That's why you got to have a tiebreaker that, you know, someone's going to get right. And that is right that... He narrates the first one.
Fine.
I don't even know. I don't even remember how much narration there is in it, or if he sounds like Homer. Like, you know how when he does other characters on The Simpsons, they kind of sound like Homer.
I remember the first movie being so prophetic. Like, it was a true dystopian, like, Dune hellscape, but fun.
Yeah. There's a lot of plumbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, fun all sound right. effects.
And John Leguizamo.
Johnny Legs. Can't go wrong with Johnny Legs. All right, so Brie Pruitt wins. Let's find out what after the break. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back, and Brie Pruitt gets to go first in our second and final determining game. That first game was just sort of a warm up. Why would anybody know anything about Super Mario Brothers movies? This is a little bit more serious, this game, and it will determine our winner today. The game is called Which Chris Is Dis? It is a hot new game that is sweeping the show and the nation. And I'm even going to do a more expanded edition. Basically, the answer this time out is one of four. We did it with three last time, but somebody was so sad that Chris Pine wasn't in there that I'm adjusting it. So the answer this time is one of four Chris's: Hemsworth, Evans, Pratt, or Pine.
Okay.
I will tell Bree Pruitt a movie. Bree will guess if it's got Hemsworth, Evans, Pratt, or Pine in it. If she misses, then we go to Rena. And if Rena misses, then we go to Emma. And then if Emma misses, all three of you don't get there's one remaining. There's one lone standing Evans, one lone Pine, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Then the person who went first is going to get the gimme point there because it came all the way back around. I'm hoping that happens. It could happen, but probably not. I think you'll all be pretty good at this game. Are you ready, Bree?
I've never been more ready in my life.
Okay. I'll remind you of the four choices after I say it. Good luck.
Okay.
Princess Diaries 2, : Royal Engagement.
Chris Hemsworth.
Wow, you didn't even need a recap of all the names. You just spit right out the wrong answer.
Oh!
I mean, I pressed the wrong one. I did the wrong one. They don't even look the same, the two sound effects makers. But sorry, Bree. No, that wasn't it. But that was, I liked how quickly you answered. That was,
seen that film, and I think that Chris Hemsworth is very Princess Diaries looking to me.
Sure, sure. Yeah. You don't have to explain yourself to anybody.
Then I won't.
Okay, Rena.
Yes.
What do you think it is?
I just aesthetically, I want to go with our newcomer, Chris Pine. I feel like he looks the part.
Okay, so that's your final answer, Chris Pine?
Yeah.
Princely Chris Pine. I think he was a prince in Into the Woods. So he's put on a prince outfit or two.
Typecasting.
That is correct.
Oh, wow. This is huge. Thank you.
It's so big. So big. You're on the board. All right. So now we start with Emma.
Okay.
Hemsworth, Evans, Pratt, or Pine. A motion picture called, had a lot of actors and actresses in it, and it was called Smoking Aces.
Okay. I'm not going to pretend like I know who, like, the difference between any of these Chris's, because I don't, and I have never heard of this movie. So I'm just going to say Chris Evans, because it feels right. He's America, right? He's Captain America.
I love the way you play. Yes, that's which one he is.
Okay, but I got that wrong.
Yeah. Okay. That was incorrect, but I love the way you play. Because you don't back off participating when you had very very little to go on.
Yeah, I just go with my gut, which is usually wrong, unfortunately.
I'm not gonna be naming any of the movies that they're mostly known for, so I can just tell you that Hemsworth is Thor, Evans is Captain America, Pratt is Guardians of the Galaxy, and Pine is Wonder Woman, and now he's in Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. But we have to move on to Bree gets a shot at this one.
I get a stab.
Who do you think it is? Smoking Aces.
I think it's Chris Pine.
Are you feeling it sounds confident, that answer.
same rationale. I probably would have gone Chris Evans first round. I think he's a contemporary of Smokin' Aces.
Okay. Yes, that's correct.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Chris Pine. I forgot. I mean, I can't remember Chris Pine and Smokin' Aces because it's kind of like it's a story with a lot of like thugs,
big ensemble,
killing each other, and you know, it's one of those Pulp Fiction knockoff kind of deals. But it's got some entertaining parts. Like at one point, spoiler: Ben Affleck, he's dead, but somebody just takes their fingers. I forget what actor even does this, but somebody takes their fingers and, you know, makes dead Ben Affleck talk by, you know, moving his lips with his fingers. Yeah, it's funny if you don't like Ben Affleck. All right, so Bree got that one right.
Yes.
Back to Rena for this next one.
I'm ready.
A film you may not recall called Bottle Shock.
Oh, I was got excited. I thought it was going to be Bottle Rocket, as I have recalled that one.
Right, but I don't think any of those Chris's was in that.
No, definitely not. But
that one was full of Wilsons.
They could do a remake with the Helmsworth brothers, you know. Anyway, I haven't seen Bottle Shock. But let's go with let's do Chris Pratt. I feel like he's not been. I don't know who it is, so I'm going to throw out Chris Pratt.
You know, you came to play. That's the important thing.
Yeah. I could have predicted that. Yeah.
Emma, what do you think it is? Who do you think it is?
Chris Evans. I'm just going to stick with my boy, Chris Evans.
You know, that's one way to play. It's not working out so far. But, you know, it is a strategy. It could work.
Dang.
I'm going to stick with my boy, Chris Pine. How do you like that?
Oh, that's how you're going to play it.
Yeah.
Well, he's
my boy.
That seems like some sort of path to success.
Oh, wow. Bet on the wrong Chris over here.
Yeah. Rena.
Yeah.
Which of these fellas was in a film called... Oh, let me tell you about Bottle Shock real quick. I think that was a movie with Alan Rickman. The late, great Alan Rickman. And I think it's about like wine tasting. That's what your wine sales. And that then Bottle Shock is like sticker shock, you know, like something like that.
Which is like a very deflating way to use the term shock. Like if you're talking about shock and then it's like, oh, wow, inflation, huh? Yeah.
All right. Here's the next one for who'd I say was going to go first?
That'll be me.
Rena. Okay. Unstoppable.
Train
is going and it's unstoppable.
This is another film I'm unfamiliar with, but I feel like based on how this game has played out, it seems like Chris Pine is unstoppable in the answers. So I want to say Chris Pine.
That's a strategy. Are you sure that's where you want to go?
Yes, I'm sure.
Well, you know what? Chris Pine is, it turns out he was stoppable, or rather he was able to stop the train.
Oh, wow. Cool. Cool.
Yeah. It's a very exciting movie. Even when you know, I mean, the title does make it seem like they're not going to be able to stop it, but that's just a trick. It's a catfish of movie titles.
Who directed it? M. Night Shyamalan? It's like, what a reveal. No.
Twist. My goodness.
Stops. Yeah.
No, it was a Tony Scott, I believe. And you know, he and Denzel, it's good. It's pretty good. Rosario Dawson's like in the control room on the phone trying to help stop the train. Okay, so who just got that one right? Bree did?
Me. That was me.
Rena.
I feel like a movie
Rena got it.
About a train that went too fast, but they did stop, should be called Sped, right?
Yeah.
They sped. Is that proper English? Okay.
Yeah, they were close speeding enough. And now it's over.
Yeah. Sure.
All right, Emma, you're up first.
Okay.
I hope you've heard of this movie. Perhaps you have, because it's a lighthearted romantic comedy with Andy Samberg and... Rashida Jones' daughter of Quincy. Celeste and Jesse forever.
Am I still, to be clear, I'm still guessing Chris's?
Yeah, Hemsworth, this this is super which Chris is this.
Okay.
And it's going to go on for
Okay. So I'm just going to go Chris Evans again because he's got to be in something eventually, right?
Right. Like, that's one way to look at it.
Yeah. I feel like this feels like a Chris Evans film to me. Except now I'm kind of okay. Maybe it's actually Chris Pratt. Ew. Okay. I'm going to guess Chris Pratt. I'm Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt. That's my final answer.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I like how you prefaced Chris Pratt with an ew.
Yeah. Ew. I'm going to go. Is apologize it Chris Evans? Oh, wait. You can't tell me yet. So don't tell me. Never mind. But
I'll tell you in a little bit. Bree? Okay.
I think it's Hemsworth. I'm deviating from my boy Chris Pine. Maybe okay, unwisely.
You're going Hemsworth.
Yep. Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. Rena?
Yeah, I'm doubling down on Chris Pine, man.
Yeah, you know what to do.
Yeah, I feel like this is his time. This is going to be on his IMDb. This podcast episode of how many times we mentioned him.
I think this is a baseball expression. You're riding the pine.
I'm riding the yeah, absolutely.
Some Rocky Horror Picture Show shit right there. You're riding the pine. Sorry.
That is correct, though.
Wow.
Chris Pine, once again, what is happening?
What a guy.
Wow. I think I got a splinter.
This game is insane. All right, Emma. I don't know if you know what's up or down at this point, but maybe this will help you out. I'm pretty sure that at least two out of three of your children have seen and enjoyed this movie, is my prediction.
Okay.
And so maybe that'll help you to remember which Chris was in it. The Cabin in the Woods.
I love that movie. And hold on. Let me think. We like that movie a lot. All of us think it's very fun. And I'm trying to remember who's in it right now. Chris Evans.
That's your guess?
Yeah. I can't remember who's in it other than the little bald man who's in other stuff.
Choose between these four. Choose between... what's his name? Pine was Kirk in Star Trek. So choose between Captain Kirk or the what's his name? Quill in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Main Guardian or Captain America or Thor. Which one of those was in Cabin in the Woods?
Okay. Yeah. So Chris Pratt's not in it for sure. Thor's not. No, it is Thor. It's Thor. Chris. The Hemsworth, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
I knew I could talk you into a right answer.
Thank you for the help.
Right, because if you picture Thor, he's very Thor-like in his he's big and muscular, and he was stupid and drove off. He's like the funniest guy in the movie.
Yeah. Yep. Once you said Thor, I was like, okay, it is Thor. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Doug.
You're on the board. Emma Arnold's on the board. And now, Bree, you have one chance to tie it up with Rena. If you do, then we'll have to go to a tiebreaker. If you don't get this one right, then Rena wins the whole game today.
Wow.
The motion picture is called one word, Black Hat.
Oh, shit.
Black Hat full of shit.
Let's go.
It's another Hugh Jackman musical, actually.
Do not know what this is. I'm going to go Pine because he's been a reliable. I'm going to back the Pine horse.
Everyone's riding the Pine. Will it work out for Bree Pruitt? The answer is no.
No, not Bree.
Oh, dang.
No.
Rena, which one of the remaining Chris's do you think it is?
Well, I'm conflicted here because Black Hat, the first thing that comes to mind is Hasidic Jewish people. And Chris is the most non-Jewish name there is. And I know it's not relevant, but that's all I can think of. I got in trouble for hanging out with a Chris when I was younger because there's no way a Chris is Jewish. and I was like, we're just friends, Dad. And yeah, I did lose my virginity to that guy. Anyway, he was right. I don't know. It's not Chris Pine. That's the only one that I don't think it's Chris Pratt. The other two are Hemsworth and Evans.
Yeah, Hemsworth or Evans.
I feel like I want to go with Chris Evans. Yeah.
Damn.
Emma?
Oh, I get to try. Okay. Well, I was going to stick with my boy Evans, but now, since I guess I won with Hemsworth, I'm going to say Thor. I'm going to say Chris Hemsworth.
You guys correct.
I've never even heard of this movie. What is this movie?
Yeah, what's Black Cat?
It's too little too late, Emma, because Rena's got 3 points and she wins. But Black Hat is, it was like, he's like a tech guy. It was like about, like he's like a hacker or something. Mm. And Black Hat, I guess, is like his code name or something.
Okay.
Or maybe the bad hacker he's trying to catch is called Black Hat or something. I did not enjoy it.
You didn't find Chris Hemsworth a believable hacker?
I thought he was okay, but the movie just didn't interest me. It was too techy, you know, too much about that shit, that where they could just make stuff up and I don't know what they're talking about. But I think it was a direct to Netflix deal, so I just watched it at home on TV, so I wasn't too into it. But congratulations goes to Rena Cole.
Yeah, Rena.
This is definitely the first time I've ever won on your show because I am pretty dumb at movies. But...
And you won for your Christopher expertise.
I know. Chris's. Nobody tell my dad.
So that means you not only get to, you know, come back on the show as, you know, soon as we can work it out, but also you get to do your plugs first. What would you like to plug?
Oh, wowie. The best way to see where I'm at is at renacalm.com. You can see all of my tour dates, link to my book of puns on Amazon. I know you guys love your puns. There's even some movie stars in the book, some celebrity puns. So recommend that. And my next, come see me in Boise in 2 weeks. I'll say that on May 12th at Push and Pour with Emma Arnold. That's a double plug. And follow me on Instagram at Rena Calm, and I'll post fun stuff for you to click on.
Yeah, you're always traveling around places, so there's lots of cool stuff to show us. And thank you for taking the time out to be with us today.
Yeah, I'm finishing on that note. My goal of all 50 states this weekend in Richland, Washington. That'll be my 50th state, and I am ready to take a nap. Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
Congratulations!
Congratulations!
Yeah. So big whoop.
Pretty good. I love it. All right. Bree Pruitt, what do you got to plug?
Oh, well, folks can give me a follow at Bree Pruitt across platforms. And this very weekend in Los Angeles, California, I have a show at the Lyric Hyperion Theater at 4 p.m. And it is a cannabis and tarot card themed comedy show where you can get your tarot cards read and you can pregame smoke with us. And then we'll go and watch comedy sets, and I'll be hosting that one.
That's really fun sounding.
So fun. We'll
sesh outside, like plan the sesh outside. I always forget to tell everybody that we should have a sesh outside. So I'm always just outside the venue while everybody else is inside waiting for the show to start.
You're at the Zany's Rosemont Parking Garage, just hoping that something cool happens.
And this is the Lyric Hyperion. The show's called High Priestess. After the tarot card. So yeah, check it out.
I love that. That's awesome. That's so cool. Emma Arnold, what do you got to plug? You could say the Boise show again if you like.
Yeah, please come see Rena in 2 weeks at Push and Pour. I will have tickets up for that pretty soon, but and get them quick because that show always sells out if you're in Boise. And I have a new album and comedy special coming out tomorrow called Myself. Yeah, and I'm very excited about
Congratulations,
that.
Congratulations, Emma.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm also headlining the Chief Festival. If I'm not sure exactly when this comes out, but next weekend I'm headlining the Chief Festival, and next Wednesday I will be on Grolix Live at Mutiny Cafe, and we're making a regular podcast while they test out those period cramp simulators.
Oh my god.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun, so I'm excited for that. But yeah, check out my new album and my new special. It's going to be great.
I can't wait to hear it. Congrats. Yay,
thank you.
I think the fun thing about a period cramp simulator is probably that men are in no way equipped to deal with, like, women are, you know what I mean? They're equipped to deal. It's still horrible, but I bet you it's even worse on a man. I can't wait to see the results of that.
Yeah, I'm very excited. They asked me to do it, and I was like, absolutely. I'm the best person.
Right?
I couldn't have asked a better person for that.
They say women have a higher threshold for pain than men just to begin with, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I've had 3 natural childbirths, so I have an extremely high threshold for pain, and I have horrible period cramps. So I feel like I was really the right person to ask to sit and sort of supervise this situation.
What stunning synergy!
Oh yeah. My god!
I didn't even know
so
that
mean
was
to
a,
them.
I'd never heard that was
I
a
am
thing.
Going to be. Yeah,
I'm like tingling, overjoyed. I mean, I'm excited for your special as well, but I am so excited to know.
I am fully erect at the prospect of like righteous gender justice.
Yes. Oh my god. Yeah. You're my favorite. You're my favorite cramp dom.
I mean, honestly, I think we could all agree it would be much better if they could alleviate ours rather than torturing everyone.
We'll take what we can get.
This is the first step towards that goal, I think. I think
until there can be a litigation or amendments to our constitution, this will work for
you can get full health care for your lady trouble if you just tell them you can't get your uterus hard anymore. They're on top of that. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Hang on, a man needs to do some plugs right now. I'm doing a happy hour stand-up show on Friday, May 5th at Zany's in Rosemont. That'll be a lot of fun. O'Hara Jason, as always. And then the next day, Douglas Movies at 4:20, same venue. I might as well say it because I think he's got some fans on the line. Jeff Tate's going to be joining me in the show.
I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot. I was going to tell everybody, if you listen, Jeff opened for me for my album recording. And if you listen, you can hear his laugh so loud through the whole thing.
Oh, my
God. He's just, he's like, oh, my gosh. It's so funny. When I was listening back, they were, like, sending me edits. And every time I would just be cracking up because you can hear his laugh so loud. So, yeah, that was very special. It was very fun.
Well, I'm zooming in from Portland right now, which is kind of, that's where he lives now. So it's all very connected, if you think
about it. Oh, I love it. That's great. And I'm going to be doing my annual Mother's Day Doug Loves Movies at 4:20 in the afternoon at Comedy Works in Denver. Doug Loves Movies, DougLovesMovies.com for all of my dates. Thanks again to Rena Kalm, Arnold, Bree Pruitt, Rena Kalm, of course, our new champion.
Woohoo!
And I always end every episode by saying a last line from a motion picture. And I always like look something up. You know, I plan something ahead of time. I forgot to pick one for today. And so I'm looking through, I have this silly book that has lots of last lines for movies. I'm just looking to see if the first Super Mario Brothers movie just happens to be listed, because that'd be a good one to use. But, you know, it's just random which ones are in the book. No Super Mario Brothers. So instead, I'll do the last line from Superman. As always, no, sir, don't thank me, Warden. We're all part of the same team. Good night.
Thanks, Doug.
Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.